Turn back in the book of James just tonight. I want to finish a little thought we started on the other day. I've been dealing with the prayer. I'm not an expert on prayer, neither are you. If we were, things would be different in our lives. Every one of us would show up. But I do want to know how to pray, don't you? I do want to know how to pray. And I believe there's some things that we can find from the Word of God that will help us know. When I pray, I want to make sure I get in touch with God. Amen. I ask you to pray for me. I want you to get in touch with God. I don't want anything to be hindered between you and the Lord. And we have a lot of hindrances. There are a lot of hindrances. And remember, I talked about a couple of things in particular. Come on. There's a couple of things that I'm in particular as we start praying. And one of them tonight is adoration. You remember I talked about when we need to exalt the Lord and recognize who we're praying to. And secondly, we talked about confession. We need to confess our sins before the Heavenly Father. Amen. We got to get them two things done. Now let's read tonight. Stand, please. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse number 16. The Bible said, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And you can be seated and let's pray and ask God's leadership. Pray with me, please, tonight. Father, give us that which we need. Lord, you know what we stand in need of as an individual. Lord, we know tonight not how to pray. And Lord, we know that we miss the mark when it comes to praying. Lord, show us these things and help us not only just to talk about them, not only just to preach about them, not just to discuss them, but Lord, may we put these things into action and put it to use. And Lord, may we be able to get in touch with God as we call upon your name. Lord, that people around us might know that the Lord is real in our heart and life, not for show, but Lord, for the evidence of the touch of God, that they might experience the things of the Lord. We'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jot these down in things that help us in praying, making sure we get a prayer through. You do know tonight, I mentioned this before, in confessing, we need to confess our sins. If sin is in the heart, God will not hear our cry. There's a lot of things that hinders the prayers of the saints of God. And there's a lot of them. One of them is not giving Him adoration. One's not confessing. But the third one I want to mention tonight, we'll just get right into it and try to get on down the line, and we won't spend as much time on these, but I'll just give you enough to think about tonight. And that's a little word called restitution. Now, sometimes we pray. This is a little thought that's overlooked in most places, in most churches, actually in our lives as we pray. The thought of restitution. What's restitution means? Making amends for something you've done wrong. Amen. And I want to give you a scripture tonight. You can turn, if you want to, into the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 8. I'll read that verse if you don't want to turn, but you can turn there and mark it in your Bible, if you will. But it's a little verse of Scripture concerning Zacchaeus. Now, all the young ones know about Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man. Amen. He climbed up in the sycamore tree. You remember that? We know the story. But here's what it said in Luke 19:8. "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by a false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Amen. Now, he got right with God, and what he is going to do is give back that which he had taken away. Amen. Amen. I believe tonight that that's the way it ought to be. I tell you, I believe if we take anything and not willing to give it back, we say we're right with God, we're lying. Amen. There's some things that has to be taken care of. Amen. Somebody says, "Well, I just got saved." Now, still, you're going to have to pay your debts. Amen. Just because you got saved, that don't change things. You can take a drunkard or take a drug addict or whatever, and they commit things and do things, and they get saved and get right with God, They'll still pay the price. Amen. It may not get them out of jail if it's in jail. But I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll change the heart. They'll still have to pay the price. Restitution has to be given. I believe that with all my heart. We need some Christians like Zacchaeus that are willing to go back and give back what they've taken. Amen and amen. We ought to practice the gospel that Zacchaeus had. We just practice it 1 year in this country, and everybody practices the gospel. Say amen, the way the gospels teach it. This country would be a blessing to live in. Amen. And that is by, the principles of the gospel, how that they teach us to live close to the Lord. Now, I believe a thief tonight repents and then keeps what he's taken from somebody has still got a problem. I don't believe you're going to be able. Amen. You know what I'm saying by this? It's not necessarily somebody just got saved in restitution. The saints of God have to do that. Sometimes we have an ought with one another. Amen. And we get right. And you'll never get your prayers answered with ought. We're going to talk about that in a minute. You'll never get your prayers answered if you got an ought with somebody. But you get at the altar, you get that straightened out. And brother, you ain't got it straightened out unless you straightened it out with that person. Amen and amen. God can forgive you. But I believe God will put it in your heart. Have you ever prayed and had to go to somebody and said, I'm sorry for what I said? I've had people come to me and say, preacher, I'm sorry for what I said about you. And I said, I didn't know you said anything about me. Amen. But we did, they said. Amen. And they had to ask God to forgive them, and they've asked me too. Sometimes I've had to do the very same thing. That's restitution. You said, do you find that in the Bible? Sure do. Found it already. I done give it to you. Zacchaeus. He went out fourfold and said, I'll give it fourfold. If that's not enough, I'll give the half of it. If that's not enough, I'll give fourfold, whatever it takes. Turn over into the book of Exodus chapter 22. I'm going to give you three places. And I'm not going to read all these. I just want to show you it's in the Bible. And then we're going to go to the next point. This is something that will keep you from praying. If you have no intentions of getting right with people, you will not get right with God either. Amen. If you get right with God, you're going to get right with people. If you ever get the right relationship with you and God, you're going to have the right relationship with people that you come in contact with. Amen. You said, they treat me bad. I don't like them. Amen. That's beside the point. You get to where you love God, you'll have to love them too. Say amen. That's not easy either, is it? That's one of them hard things in there. The Lord said, pray for them who despitefully use you. Amen. Who curse you and so forth and so on. I'm telling you tonight, that's one of the hard things, the Word of God, but we have to do it. Exodus chapter 22. If you look at that whole chapter when you get home tonight, it said, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it. He's going to steal it and then he's going to sell it. Or he's going to kill it. If he steals it from somebody, that means a Ford car or Chevrolet, either one. Amen. Anything, the man's boat. Amen. I remember an old fellow one time, he loaned his boat to him and he kept it and kept it and kept it. And he went over there one day and hooked it up to the car and pulled it home because it was his boat and they put him in jail. Amen. And the legal thing is, he was wrong in doing what he done. He wasn't supposed to go get it out of the man's yard even though it was his boat. I won't get into all that, but that's some of the laws we have in the land don't correspond with the Word of God. Amen. So it said, if a man steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. Amen. Now he's going to restore them. I mean, he steals it, he sells it, or he kills it, then he's going to have to do some that's restitution. God said that. Now, that's the Old Testament. It carries over to the New, brother. I believe that with all my heart. Now, look down in verse 3. It said, if a son be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. Or there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. There's that word. See it? Full restitution. In verse 4, the last two words of verse 4 is, restore double. Amen. That's restitution. The last few words of verse 5, shall he make restitution? In verse 6, the last words, surely make restitution. In the last two words of verse 7, pay double. And on and on and on. You can go on down in that chapter and find that they're to pay double. They're to pay it back. That's the restitution. So if you go to the throne of God, brother, you get things right with God, I'll guarantee you'll have to have some restitution. Now, it may not be every time you pray. But if there's something you've done to somebody, you had an ought against somebody, you've done something against him, maybe you spoke against them ill, maybe you took something from them, maybe you've done something, yes, contrary to the Word of God, then you need to go get that settled and straightened out. Amen. That needs to be taught in the church. We need to keep our minds and hearts open together. Amen. If I've done you wrong, then I'm obligated to go, once I get it right with God, I'm obligated to go to you too. Somebody said, well, what I do is I got it right with me and God, and what I've done with them, that's my business. Amen. But you'll never have the victory. You'll never have the victory. Because that person's still holding it to you. They know about it. They may not be holding it against you bad, but they know it happened. But if you go to them and say, look, I've got this forgiven. It's under the blood, and I want to ask your forgiveness too. And if it's something you need to restore, restore it. Amen. Maybe you borrowed somebody's chainsaw 10 years ago and you ain't give it back to him yet. You got right with God. Get the chainsaw and take it back. Amen. Said, I done sold it. Then go get him another. Amen. I said, preacher, if we start preaching that in the church, we're going to get in trouble. No, we're going to get right with God. That's what's going to happen. Amen. There's some people just cannot fellowship together in the church because of something that happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago. And if there's something like that that you've done, now don't do it and know that you have done it and do like most church members do and get up and say, if I've done anything to hurt you, when you know good and well you have, understand? Now that's restitution. I could talk a long time on that tonight, but that'll hinder your prayers. If you've done something against somebody, may not be in the church, maybe on the job, and you've done something, you've taken something from, you've done something wrong, maybe, amen, you hoodwinked them some way. Hear me now. You done them in some way. Listen, you need to make sure that your dealings with the public is right. When you get right with God, if you've been convicted of it, I've had to do it lots of times. Amen. I remember working in the mill one day. The old fellow, he was mean as a striped snake. I've heard that saying. I don't know about a striped snake, but he was mean. And he had an ill temper about him. And I went down to the supply room to get something from him, and he popped off about something. Why you don't do this and you don't do that, and why don't you? And I just popped back. Amen. You ain't never done that, I don't guess, but I did. And I said some things. I didn't, I didn't stutter when I said it. And I didn't use bad language or nothing like that, but I said some straight, firm things. And I got out there and got to working on the machine. And the Holy Spirit of God got to dealing in my heart. He got to working on my soul. And I couldn't even see what I was doing. I could not get my mind on that. And I had to stop what I was doing, go back down there, went inside the supply room, went over there where he was, walked up to him. Now listen, he is a mean, hateful thing to deal with. He was. And I said, I want you to forgive me. He looked at me like, you're crazy. What are you talking about? I said, you know, I talked to you a while ago and I didn't speak like a Christian. I'm a child of God. And I am so sorry that I said what I said to you. Would you forgive me? I want you to know he felt like, or it looked like he was going to drop over. And it did. He looked like he was going to drop over. And he said, okay, whatever. He wasn't a believer. And I walked on out. And that from that day on, that man was one of the sweetest men I ever had to deal with anymore. He wanted, there's something special, see, about that. And sometimes we got to make restitution. Amen. We shot somebody's chicken in the backyard. Amen. You get right with God, you may have to make good on a chicken. Say amen. Now, we can preach on this for a while, but I'm telling you the truth. Those are the things. And if you don't, you just go on and you say, well, I got that under the blood. Your neighbor may not even know who shot the chicken. But it's on your heart and God knows about it. You ought to go see him. Amen. Praise God to go over and find out if he wants one with feathers or one already plucked. Amen. Get him three or four friars if you have to out of Ingles over there. Say amen right there. I'm telling you the truth. We need to get these things. That's restitution. Now your prayers ain't going to be no good if you're going to keep that and harbor it in your heart. So write that down. Adoration, number one. Confession, restitution. Then I believe every prayer that we pray ought to be with some thanksgiving. Every time we pray, we ought to be thankful unto God. Did you know David had more praise than he did anything else about it? He is singing songs and praising God all the time. He was just one of them. Brother, it's hard not to praise God and thank God for the things. But I'll tell you something that will get you in trouble. It's plain out ingratitude. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you, it's hard to keep giving to a thankless beggar. How many times you've been to the throne of God? Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Help me here. Help me there. And leave your prayer life and don't even say thank you for all the other blessings. I've done it many times and you've done it many times. Amen. There's God in heaven that saves you, redeems you, kept you, keeping you. He's blessing you every single day of your life. Every day. I mean every day. Every moment. He's keeping your heart pumping blood. He's keeping the air coming to your lungs. He's keeping everything going. Brother, He's keeping it all just like it ought to be. And guess what? We come to the throne of God and what we're doing is asking God to give us, give us, give us. We're like children. Sometimes it's unthankful. Give me more. Give me more. The more we get, the more we want. We're just like foolish children. And oh, God help us. We need to be thankful unto Him. Do you believe that tonight? I do. Amen. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, He said, be careful for what? Nothing. Be careful for nothing. He said, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests... Now, what's your request? That's your prayers. Let your requests be made known unto God. So every prayer we have, we ought to pray and thank God. There's three little precious ideas, and I'm not going to get into that verse. But that's a good verse, and that requires a lot of preaching in that verse. These three things that you'll find. Careful for nothing, He said. And secondly, prayerful for everything. And then thankful for anything. Amen. You ought to be thankful for anything God gives us. Somebody said, I don't deserve this. I say, amen, you don't deserve anything. I mention this every once in a while. The reason I mention it is because I keep hearing people say it. And sometimes I keep hearing myself say it. I'll say sometimes, I deserve better than this. Amen. I've heard people say, I deserve better than this. I've heard people say to others, you deserve better than this. Listen, beloved, we don't deserve anything tonight but to be in hell. Thank God we've been saved by God's grace. He's been good to us. Amen. Thanks be unto God. So every prayer we give, we ought to be thankful unto God. How long has it been since you just had a prayer of thanksgiving anyhow? Amen. Most of the time you're praying, you're asking God for something. That's the reason you went there anyhow to pray. But what happens? What would happen, reckon, if you just got down on your knees and said, Lord, I didn't come to ask for anything today. I just come to thank You for everything You've given me and start naming over the things that God's given you. I mean, don't go back 6 years and do it. I mean, just start from the time you got up this morning, amen, to the present time and start thanking God for what you've had, for every little drink of water you had, for every little bite of food that you had, for the breath of air that you breathe, amen. Everything that God's given you, be thankful. Just have a prayer of thanksgiving. Amen. Praise God. Wouldn't you feel funny today if your children come to you and said, Daddy or Mama, I just want to thank you for this and thank you for that and thank you for this and thank you for that. You know what happened? You might have a heart attack, something going, you say, what you needing? You might think that the little brats are trying to find some way of getting in to get something that they don't need. Amen. Trying to hoodwink you. Amen. And maybe God might think the same thing tonight if you just got down and started thanking Him for everything that you've got. Are you with me? Amen. There's some things we need to do. And if we want our prayers answered, then we need to have some prayers of thanksgiving. And now, let me give you another one tonight. Another one is forgiveness. Amen. I said confession a little earlier, and that means confessing our sins. But I'll tell you right now, we need to have forgiveness in our hearts toward one another. If we harbor something in our hearts against our neighbor, or against our friends, against our family, against the church, against anybody, regardless who they are, we can get in trouble. Amen. That's hard for us to do. Now, you know, that's hard for us to get rid of. Forgiveness. It's strange to get on our knees before God. It's not even right to get on our knees before God and ask God to forgive us for sin and things that we've done wrong when we will not forgive those that we're walking with every day of our life. Now, some of you are sitting here tonight, and I want you to think on it. I do want you to think on it because it's important. All of us can think of some people that we detest, maybe, that we don't want to be around. And as far as we're concerned, we'd just be all right if we never saw them again. Some of you may be there. You may think of some that you've had some dealings with in days past. And you said, "Preacher, I pray for them." That's good. But you wouldn't particularly care for them coming sitting down beside you tonight, sitting here while I'm preaching. Amen. It'd probably cramp your spirit, cramp your style. Understand what I'm saying? But, beloved, we have to have a spirit of forgiveness about us. There are a lot of people I don't want to have to contact and be with anymore just simply because of things that happened. But as far as I'm concerned tonight, I still pray for them, have no animosity in my heart toward them. And brother, if they could find in their heart to fellowship with me, I certainly could fellowship with them. And I've done all I know to do. There's just some people I went to talk to, and I've tried my best. I've tried my best to talk to them, but they will not. They will not do it. Amen. I don't have no control over that. But to have an attitude in our heart that we refuse, I've heard Christians say, so-called Christians, I ain't so sure about that. I ain't so sure about what I'm fixing to say, that they're Christians or not. But I've heard so-called Christians say, "I tell you what, I despise them. And as far as I'm concerned, I'd like to see them in hell with their back broke." I've heard people say things. You've heard that, hadn't you? Heard people say that. Well, I'll tell you what, I'd hate to go before the throne of God and cry out to God and say, "Lord, forgive me," when I've got some unforgiveness in my heart towards somebody else. You think God's going to hear me? No, sir. Amen. If we confess our sins, He will, what? Be faithful to what? Amen. And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, God says we got to confess. And that's what we've already said. But then when we confess, God forgives. Now, there's some things that are going to happen. You know, I don't understand why in the world I couldn't have come all through the life already and everybody loved me. I just don't understand why in the world they wouldn't do it. I like Him myself. Amen. I mean, I look at Him every morning in the mirror and I said, I don't understand why there's some people don't like that ugly face. I mean, looks like, but I don't care who you are, where you live and where you've come from. There's some people tonight that don't like you. And I want to tell you something, there's some people tonight that you don't like either. Have you ever come up to somebody and just look at somebody, you never met them before in your life? You've never spoke to them, and never been introduced to them, but they come walking in a place and you said, "I don't like him or her." Why? I don't know why. They just sometimes you'll meet somebody, you don't like them from the first time you've seen them. Now, don't stand there and make me feel bad and think I'm the only one that done that. I know good and well you have. What have they done to you? Amen. Nothing. Amen. They just showed up. That's enough. But listen tonight. That we got to have a place in our heart toward for everybody. Amen. And we can even sin against them and they don't even know it. Excuse me. We can do that. Isn't that right? But we got to have some forgiveness about us. Amen. We come in the presence of God, ask God to forgive us. Amen. We ought to be able to forgive everybody else around us too. We ought to have a meek and an humble heart. Oh, God, help me not to have any animosity toward anybody in the world. Said, "I sure don't like them." Amen. I tell you what, just say you don't like their ways. Amen. I don't like what they do. But we ought to have a love for them. See, that's what God does. God loves the sinner, but God hates his sin. And see, that's where we have a problem tonight, separate. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be worse than any sinner that's ever been upon the face of the world and who has ever will be, as far as that's concerned. But the grace of God is keeping you from that. So we give God the praise and the glory. All right? Let me give you another one. Another thing that hinders our prayers and keeps us getting our prayers answered when we pray. We could spend the night on every one of these things tonight. I'm just cutting it short so you can have the outline and we can get on another subject. How about that? We're still going to preach on prayer. We're going to keep coming back and forth on that because I believe that's one thing that we're short on. But another thing that's hindering our prayers tonight being answered is faith. Amen. Now the Lord tells us If we got everything right, we abide in Him. He abides in us. We could ask of God, brother, we could ask Him and He'd what? Give us anything. Give it to us. I mean, ask what you will and be done unto you. The Bible said if we had the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, we could say to the mountain, be you removed, and it would be moved. So faith is the key. Without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. So if it's not of faith, the Bible also says it's sin. And so that's the way we are. We find faith is something we need to have. Matter of fact, faith is the key to all of it. You can pray and not believe, and you're just wasting your time. No reason to ask God for anything if you don't believe He's going to give it to you. We need to have faith believing. Most of us pray and pray and pray. You've been at the throne of God for many, many times. You've asked God for the same things. You didn't believe it the first time you asked Him. The second time you asked, and you're still not believing Him. Now I realize that God sometimes waits. I believe I preached on this and told you the other day. Sometimes God waits on it. And He wants to bring a testing and a trial to us. And puts that testing to see if we're going to be steadfast in our prayers. And we pray, God may not answer right then. He's got a reason for that. He always answers His prayers. It just may not be the way we want them answered. Amen. It's kind of like a mama. Sometimes the kids will ask something and mama won't even answer them. You know why she won't answer them? Too foolish. Amen. She knows it's too foolish. She just won't even answer sometimes. And sometimes God don't answer our prayers because they're just too foolish. We ask amiss. We ask out of realms of the Scripture. But you ask anything in His name, believing, it will be done. Amen and amen. Somebody said, well, I could ask for anything. Well, somebody said, well, I just get out and ask for $1 million. You won't do it. You know God's not going to give it to you. Amen. You know He's not. That's right. Amen. Praise God. I'm looking at this from the Word of God, from the faith standpoint. We need to have faith, believing that God will do what He says He will do. Let me give you another one on faith is something we ought to preach. That's a subject that we need to be dealing with. Our faith is weak. We're not to brag about that tonight, but our faith is weak. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And brother, when we say our faith is weak, we're just saying tonight that we are not studying the Word of God enough. The more of the Bible you get in you, the more faith you'll have in you. We have the faith to believe, and by the way, faith comes from God. But here, add this into your list. There's another, and we've got to have when we pray, and that is submission. We've got to be submitted to Him. In other words, I don't believe tonight that we can walk up to the throne of God and with a stiff attitude, look to God like, God, You owe me this, and You need to give me this, and You need to do this. And I've heard people pray, Lord, You need to move in on this subject. I've even prayed sometimes like that. And the Holy Spirit convict me and rebuke me and say, hey, look, you can't tell God what to do. But sometimes we kind of get like a little old banny chicken. Amen. Anybody ever raised any chickens I have? Brother, them old banny roosters, they're tough looking little things. They're small, but they can carry their weight around. And sometimes we get kind of like them, strut our stuff and walk up before the presence of God and say, Lord, You got to give me this. You got to do this. Listen, God don't have to do nothing for you. He's done it all. Amen. So we praise God for it. But you know what we need? We need some submission. We need the place that we call upon God and let God take care of the business in our life. Amen. He wants to do that. Now let me give you something else to add to that tonight. I believe that there needs to be some unity. Now, unity, and I want to say this basically in praying. Now this mainly in group praying. Bible teaches us tonight, if any two agree on any one thing touching heaven and earth, guess what's going to be done? He said it would be done unto us. Now we need to have some unity. We need to be unified in our prayers. And I'm praying with you, or you're praying with me, and we're praying for some particular thing. We need to have the same mind and the same judgment about it, and we need to get together with it. Have you ever had times in your life, I can take you back to many times in all the years of my ministry and all the years of my Christian life, I can go back many times when I've met up with somebody, they had a problem, they had a need, and I said to them, let's pray together. Do you believe this and believe this? And we got, and we said yes, and we're praying for the same purpose, for the same reason, believing the same thing, trusting the same thing, and we begin to pray, and as we begin to pray, we can feel the touch of God from heaven to our soul, and our soul to heaven, and we can get up from there knowing with that assurance in our heart that God is going to hear the cry, and I watch it be done. Amen, because we're unified. Now, we together need to be unified tonight. Do you believe that? We need to be unified in our praying. We need to have that little part of unity. Amen. When the pulpit and the pew get together, and God's people get together on one particular thing, it'll be done. That's why we pray together. That's why we have our prayers and get our prayer requests together. We need those prayer requests. We pray together that God is going to do the work. And He does. We thank God for that tonight. And then I'll give you another one. Brother, sometimes, and it's just plain, I believe then we can give our petition before God and actually tell the Lord what we want, what we need. You say, preacher, that's going to take a lot of praying. We need to do a lot of praying. But all that comes together in the subject. When you say, Our Father, you're already giving Him adoration. When you ask God to forgive you, that's your forgiveness. Amen. Or your confession. Amen. That, isn't that what it said? And I'll mention this back on that subject. The Bible said that we forgive one another as, you know, we forgive us our trespasses as you have forgiven us our trespasses. Remember that? It's in the Lord's Prayer. And brother, we need to forgive one another. And we get the place we get our prayer life. And I do believe tonight that our prayer life is not where it ought to be. I do not believe the prayer life of our church tonight is where it ought to be. I believe we've probably got a better praying church than most around. I would dare say tonight that most of you probably pray more than most folks in a lot of the other churches up and down this country. I believe we've got a group of people here that love God. But I still say tonight that your prayer life comes short. I say tonight my prayer life comes short. I appreciate the times I've prayed. I appreciate the times you prayed. But we all need to work on that to do more praying than we ever have. And praying is what gets the church on a moving basis. Prayer is what God does to answer our prayers. I mean, He loves to do that. And prayer is what moves the church into action. Prayer moves the hand of God. As I started off in this series, prayer is what moves the hand that moves the world. Somebody said, I can't change God's mind. Uh-huh. You can't? I've seen some in the Word of God that did. Many changed the mind of God. Amen. Even just an old praying soldier, I believe this. Now, Abraham didn't change God's mind. But I believe he would have if he'd have come on down a little lower. He said, Lord, if there is... He went on up there, got down to 10, said, if there's 10 righteous over there in Sodom and Gomorrah, will you spare it? God said, I'll spare it for 10. You know why Abraham didn't go no further? He believed there was 10 down there. If he'd have said, Lord, what about 2? Amen. What about Moses? Moses even prayed and said, hey, just put me in their place. Take it out on me. I've seen God move the hand. I've seen God move because of men's praying. Hadn't you? Have you ever moved the hand of God in your life? I believe I have. Amen. I'm not bragging, not boasting. But I believe I've seen God move and intervene where I would never have seen it had I not called upon God. That's why we need to pray. And we'll move the hand of God. So just keeping these. And I'd like to take every one of them and preached on them a long time. Some of them need to be preached, especially that one over there about forgiveness and restitution and some of those. But at least you got the outline to know a little bit to help you. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth how much? Much. Thank God. Thank God for that. I want my prayers to be available. I want to, in other words, accomplish something. I want my prayers to accomplish. Amen. Amen. God sends His Word, and it accomplishes what He sends it for. But I want my prayers to accomplish what they're sent to the heaven for. Now I want to get in touch. Now, I could tell you some other things. I didn't get into this, but I'll throw this in to think on. Did you know your attitude between your husband and your wife can hinder your prayers? Woo! That's what it said over there. We don't honor that woman, men. That's right. And hinder her prayer. It said that Abraham, Sarah called him Lord. But not, you know, there's little things like that. We can have division in our families. You found out yourself when you got division, you find out you need prayer. But it's hard to pray then, isn't it? But that's usually the reason we have so many problems anyhow. God knows that's the only time we're going to talk to Him. And He sends a few by our way. We probably wouldn't have as many problems if we prayed before God every day for about 2 hours before we ever got started. Things would go a little smoother. Amen. But God knows that we don't pray, so He has to give us a few problems so we'll come to Him and talk to Him. He knows how to call us in, don't He? Amen. When you want to pray the most? When you got the biggest problems. Even when you want to pray the least? When everything's going fine. Amen. You wonder why it didn't go fine all the time now? Amen. Think about it. Heads bowed. Thank you tonight for coming. Appreciate tonight the thought of praying. I'm glad I can pray, seek the face of God. I'm glad that the Lord's good to us. Just give you a few thoughts. And this is just a little teaching to go along tonight to think about what you need to do about your prayer life. And we don't pray enough. We pray too little. And it's important how your life is, whether you're going to get a prayer through or not. Now this is personal for every single person in this building. You may have something hindering you from praying that don't bother me. But I've got things in my life that bother me that I can't call on God in certain areas. So this is a personal thing. But we need to make sure tonight that the channel's clear. Let's stand. We need to make sure that there's no obstacles between us and God. Those need to be moved. They need to be put under the blood. Amen. We need to be a praying church. We need to be a praying group. We need to be at the place that anybody asks us to pray, that we'd feel honored if they ask us, and at the same time, they got that confidence in us that they know we can get a prayer through. There are certain people in your life you know good and well. When you need a prayer answered, you'll especially ask certain ones because you believe they got prayer. They got a touch with God in prayer. They can get the job done. There's some you're reluctant to even ask because you're not sure they even pray.